This is the PropTech VC Podcast. We give you unique insights into how innovative technologies are disrupting real estate. We interview top entrepreneurs, investors, and knowledgeable experts to share the inside scoop in this fast-moving industry. It's hosted by leading PropTech VC, Zane Jaffer. Let's dive into today's content.
You know, Jeff, when we talked about idols, I also think people of different backgrounds need good role models and need access. And it's about giving back to, you know, as much as like the example of giving away the clubhouse passes, people need good mentors who can teach them the ropes. I find that real estate's hard to break into. There's a lot of jargon, there's a lot of dishonesty, and it's so easy for a first-time investor in real estate to get fleeced, to be taken to the cleaners, and to lose a lot of hard-earned money, and then realize, okay, this isn't for me, give up, and they never get their chance to get into real estate. I know for every one successful person you know in real estate, there are countless many who tried, failed, and never went back. And I think having access to mentors and people that have done it can be a game changer.
For real. And, you know, like you said, there are so many traps. It's almost like these things have been written in like some sort of Da Vinci code, right? That if you don't have a mentor or a coach or your father didn't do it, right? Which is how a lot of these things work. It is a dicey field. I mean, I'll give you a very solid piece of, you know, anecdote about this. You know, I got out of a dumpster and into real estate, so I'm not a multi-generational real estate kind of guy. And that was about 5 years ago, but I spent a lot of time studying this. When I came to lease this building here in Los Angeles to start up our factory, the landlord in the lease said, oh, you got to sign a personal guarantee. Mm. And I had only ever leased one commercial building. I was like, oh, well, man, that's kind of weird. So a personal guarantee, for people that don't know what it is, if something happens to Jupe and it fails, I, Jeff Wilson, am on the hook to fulfill the contract, right, the lease, which, you know, commercial leases ain't cheap. I think we're paying $10,000 a month here, right?
And one would have thought the whole point of having a company is to have a corporate veil, which is seen as a separate entity.
Yeah, I mean, logically, but when you've got a landlord telling you you can't have the space unless you sign a personal guarantee, well, I called a guy I knew back in Austin and said, hey, is this right? And he was like, no, don't. No one's ever don't sign a personal guarantee. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of, right? And I was about to sign. And, you know, even if we had to break the lease to move to a bigger warehouse, which it looks like we may have to do so that we can manufacture more units, well, then I would have been on the hook for that. And it's absolutely ridiculous. So this is coming from a guy, right, that's been in real estate that, you know, I still could have been what you could say fleeced there.
Unfortunately, that's exactly what it is. Even a guy like you, who's, you know, been a professor, who's a serial entrepreneur, can easily be taken advantage of when someone realizes, you know, you're green, you're new to this particular type of area. Real estate's also such that each asset class is very unique and different. Even commercial real estate itself has so many different subcategories. Even if you take a category like hospitality, which is where you're in, break down hospitality for me. And I'll ask you to in a moment because I would like viewers to understand where Jupe sits. But there's so many different categories. In some ways, if you don't have deep operational expertise and experience, you got to be very careful when you enter new areas because a unwitting seller will take advantage of you and an agent will, you know, would love to take your money. There's a little bit of a joke where when the California zip code comes calling across the US, people love to answer it and the price gets jacked up 20% because they know, oh, here's some Californian, you know, wanting to get out of their expensive market.
I mean, I actually have two phones. I got a deal. And okay. I've got one that rings from New York City, 212. And I have one that rings from far west Texas in a town nobody knows where the hell it even is.
I probably own property there then.
Huh?
I have a lot of property in towns across Texas, especially on the west, but anyway.
Yeah, yeah, this is near Marfa. It's not even Marfa, which is a town of like 1,500. It's actually smaller. So, and whenever I am, you know, buying real estate or calling a VC, right, I'm going to call from my New York City 212. If I'm, you know, trying to pick something up back in Texas, I'm sure as hell not calling from New York City. Right?
Do we lose you, Jeff?
So you're dead on, right? And, you know, that's a point as well. You may be an expert in multifamily. What's that?
You may be an expert in your area, basically, wherever that is.
Well, and I'm not just saying you may be an expert in building multifamily in Oakland, California. Right. You shouldn't get into commercial space, right? Because you don't know what you're doing. But even if you're the best builder of multifamily in Oakland, if you go to Texas, to Austin, and try to build multifamily, it ain't going to work, right? You're probably not going to figure it out, much less trying to switch into another class, right? You know, even in hospitality, you know, there are so many different, there are so many different verticals, but also the regional thing, you know, people wonder like, oh, well, that's not true, Jeff, because Hilton or, you know, Marriott, they're in hospitality and they're all over the place. Well, the dirty secret there is that there's this whole concept of flags or what we would call brands in the hospitality area, where Marriott and Hilton usually aren't building those hotels. They are merely putting their brand and some of their operations, but often not even their operations on it. There's like a local Trump real Tower, estate developer.
Trump doesn't necessarily own Trump Tower because it's called Trump Tower.
Yeah, and I, you know, Trump Tower is a multi-use kind of beast, right? There's a, I think, you know, there's a Trump swag store, there's a Trump steak, right? There's Trump office, and there's probably, you know, Trump steak. That's a new real estate category. Probably is one. And then offices, right? So, and imagine doing a mixed-use project in Omaha and then trying to go to Fifth Ave in New York City. And probably the other way around, too, right? So all of these things, you know, if we're talking about startups, think about the barriers to scale, because startups are all about scale.
Jeff, before we talk about startups, see, you look at Bluefield, which is, you know, part of a private equity firm, Bluefield, and we have real estate nationally. The way we've done it is we've gone in with partners we know and trust. Now, here's the challenge, and this isn't about Bluefield. This is more about real estate itself, right? I mean, I'm a colored guy at Bluefield, so the example isn't relevant to Bluefield. But if people tend to be from a certain gender and age and race, let's say white old men, and they're buying real estate, and even they struggle to go to new places, then they partner with people who inevitably look like them, talk like them, walk like them. People who are cut from the same cloth, and that also breeds this exclusivity. Because you cannot enter real estate unless you have good JV partners, unless you have good people you trust and have done business with. At Bluefield, you know, we have a diverse set of partners, and we'll go into business with people who, you know, in new areas, we want to go with a trusted partner. We're always looking for new partners. But this is just natural. The problem with this is that it's hard if you're someone not from that color and, you know, same class to break in.
And it, you know, it, you used a word a few times there, right? Trust. And so, you know, a lot of folks make very conscious decisions about not trusting folks that don't look like them, that aren't from the same social circles. But most certainly,
accent in some cases, or as you said, you pick up the phone and you sound different when you call from a New York number, and you put on a different accent when you call from the Texas number, right? People do respond differently. There's even this saying, "Fake it till you make it," right? Where some people, when they want to succeed, you know, and it's a good investment sometimes, right? To have a great, you know, polished suit, or this is why some salespeople have nice Rolex watches and cars. It resonates with the target or customer base.
And it's a deep brain sort of thing, a unconscious bias, right? Many times it's conscious, straight up, like, guy has an accent. Last guy I dealt with, you know, that Jersey accent didn't go well, right? But there's all kinds of subconscious bias as well. And when you're trying to mitigate the risks you think you can control, right? Folks will subconsciously or consciously make those decisions. And so, again, in my opinion, it's talking about these things like we are, right? That helps a little bit. But there, it's getting the flywheel spinning, right? For people of color or people that aren't old white men, for getting into the real estate game. And, you know, at least folks are talking about it a little bit more, but things need to be done, right? So, you know, you guys are likely bringing in a more diverse set of interns, first-year analysts, those types, because they look at your board and they see folks, you know, it can work that way too, that look like them and want to join up, right? It's a big problem. And it's one of those, not just when you talk about the Rubik's Cube, that's not really a face of the Rubik's Cube. That's baked into the plastic, right? So it's not going to be solved in the same way. It's going to have to be solved from the inside.
And I think this is why it's frustrating for entrepreneurs when, and VCs too, by the way. VCs are frustrated too, where you look at the market size of this asset class, trillions of dollars. You look at the lack of innovation. You see fintech, you see every other area take off. And prop tech is taking off, but it's being held back by the decision makers who are ingrained in part of their culture is to do things the old way. Real estate is one of the few areas today, and I hope years from now when people listen back on this podcast, it's a relic from history. Like, I can't believe he said that it's about who you know in real estate. And it shouldn't be like that. If anyone ever tells you in an industry it's about who you know, that is like the best that's like the best thing to hear when it comes to disrupting that damn industry. It's about who you know. It's about the data you hide. It's about the things you don't say, right? Then that is an area that needs to be disrupted through technology, for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, how do you create the space? How do you create the access, right? So our actual mission statement at Jupe liberating real estate from the constraints of access and place. Now, you may wonder what the hell that has to do, right? That is our company mission statement.
So repeat that again. Liberating real estate from the constraints of access, was it?
Access and place.
Access and place. What does that mean?
Right.
So, I mean, it's a very loaded statement, right? That means a lot of things, but at the very base level, right, real estate, sticks and bricks, are tied to a geographical location, and they're often only accessible to a certain, you know, type of person, but also often they're often not accessible in terms of just being able to walk in the places. So, you know, we thought long and hard about that, and Jupe, where we're starting, because it's an off-grid platform that can activate land anywhere, right? And from an investment standpoint, you know, in the next phase or so of what we're doing, we're going to introduce a way to invest in actual fleets of jupes rather than the angel investors and the VCs we're getting money from now. We're trying to free it from all of those barriers of access in place and going about that in a targeted way.